Welcome to the debt collection drill. Moss & Barnett is pleased to present the Debt Collection Drill, the podcast featuring Moss & Barnett shareholders John Rossman and Mike Ponson, providing sage tips for improving collections and compliance.
Welcome again, everybody, to another edition of the Debt Collection Drill. This is Mike Ponson, and again with me is John Rossman, Chair of the Creditors Remedies Bankruptcy Practice Group here at Moss & Barnett.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to be back. We took a month off for summertime 2012, and now we're ready for our August 2012 edition of the Debt Collection Drill. Have an interesting topic today. The title of our podcast is State Laws Prohibit Popular Debt Collection Tactics. Mike, I know we talk a lot on this podcast about federal law, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act primarily, and sometimes we overlook addressing state law issues. What kind of state law issues, Mike, are you seeing today that are being pursued by consumer attorneys against collection agencies?
Well, I'd say the two biggest ones that you run into are the allegation that you can't collect a debt beyond the statute of limitations or that you must have a notice. There's also the credit card convenience fee issue that are you tacking them on or threatening that you may tack them on?
You know, with the credit card convenience fee issue, Isamo, attorney here at Moss & Barnett, he and I wrote an article about that was published in Inside Arm last month, and I know we got a lot of good feedback, a ton of feedback on that article. We'll post a link to that on our website. I believe it's actually already on there in the debtcollectiondrill.com, but we will put it on the slider so folks can see it. Interesting about credit card convenience fees, there are a number of states that prohibit the assessment of convenience fees. And I'm going to go through that list of states, but I do want to just point out, and I know we have all kinds of disclaimers at the beginning and end of the show, we're not giving legal advice here. If you're thinking about assessing credit card convenience fees, please do talk to your own lawyer. But based on my research, the states that prohibit credit card convenience fees, and a convenience fee, keep in mind, is a fee that a collection agency would charge to a consumer for using a credit card. As we know, when you use a credit card, the company that processes that card is going to charge you a fee, and many collection agencies, rightfully so, look to assess that fee to the consumers. But several states do prohibit that practice, including Connecticut, Colorado, Idaho, Massachusetts, our home state here, Minnesota, Washington State, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Mike, what kind of litigation, if any, have you seen arising from credit card convenience fees?
You know, there are a few cases, and you know, it does vary widely. I know there's the Shami case, but, you know, there are different ways that courts have looked at this. You know, is the convenience fee something that, is it provided for in the contract? Or is it, are you being charged $5 per transaction from the credit card to be using it? Or are you actually being charged a different amount and not passing on the right amount to the consumer? So, you know, John, a question for you to fire one back would be, in these eight jurisdictions, is it you can't use them at all, or that you can't be applying a convenience fee that's in excess of what you're being charged to use the credit card?
That's a great question, and the statutes vary, and each statute has slightly different provisions as far as credit card fees. A number of them say no way, no how, you can't do it, and some of them have more tailored restrictions. You know, there was a case out of the Wyoming Supreme Court. It didn't deal with a debt collector, but it dealt with an automobile finance company. And in that case, the automobile finance company was pursued by an individual claiming that the assessment of a fee for using a credit card or making a web payment was prohibited by Wyoming law. And the Wyoming Supreme Court did an excellent analysis of the language of the statute. And the reason I bring up this case, and this was the Vogel versus Onyx Acceptance Corporation case, the reason I bring up this case is because the language in the Wyoming statute regarding the prohibition against the charging of a convenience fee to a consumer tracks very closely the language that's used in a number of collection agency statutes. And in the Wyoming case, the court found that this wasn't part of the original transaction. The use of the credit card to make a payment and the assessment of the convenience fee by the finance company was a separate individual transaction, separate from the initial credit, or actually this is a car loan, separate from the car loan that was made to the consumer, and thus the court found that this transaction fell outside of the four corners of the statute prohibiting the use or the assessment of credit card fees. And I think this Vogel case can be used in some circumstances to argue that certain transactions by collection agencies in assessing a fee to consumers also fall outside of the four corners of these types of out of these types of statutes. Mike, one other area that you mentioned was out-of-statute debt disclosures. And I know there are a handful of states that have specific disclosures that are required by statute that need to be given before collecting an out-of-statute debt. Certainly, I think at this point, everyone's familiar with the asset acceptance case and the prohibitions that were placed on collecting that particular paper and the types of disclosures that must be made. But Mike, what are the states that have some type of disclosure requirement for collecting on an out-of-statute debt?
Well, our research comes up with five states: Massachusetts, Mississippi, New Mexico, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and then, of course, New York City with its own requirement that the out-of-statute disclosure be provided.
Now, despite these state statutes, I guess my opinion would be, well, if you're not collecting in one of those states, you don't need to give an out-of-statute debt disclosure. Certainly, there's some question after the asset acceptance case as to whether an out-of-statute debt disclosure should be given on every account where you're seeking to collect it out of statute. Mike, I know you've litigated some of these cases recently. We've seen some class actions. We've seen some individual actions. What's your sense of how judges are viewing in these states, other than these six states or these six jurisdictions, in other jurisdictions, how are courts viewing whether or not a collection agency needs to include an out-of-statute debt disclosure?
Well, I think I'm going to give you the standard "it depends" response.
Nice.
You know, in some cases, we've seen it out in Massachusetts, and I think New Jersey or Pennsylvania, and those courts have ruled favorably for the collection industry. But there's also some cases, and I couldn't point to them off the top of my head, but as I seem to recall, there have been some cases that have denied motions to dismiss based upon this very same issue. So while it's not a all-out victory saying that you have to include it, it hasn't granted the collector's motion to dismiss. So, you know, it kind of depends. It's one of those questions, unfortunately, that's up in the air after the asset acceptance order.
And I think a lot of it's going to depend on the facts of the case, and a lot of it's going to depend on the judge and how the judge views the particular facts of those case. Mike, let's shift gears for a minute and talk a little bit about criminal background screening. You know, probably 80% of the calls I've gotten over the past couple weeks regarding Minnesota law in particular have dealt with the change to the statute here. And as everyone knows, there is a requirement that every collector who collects a debt here in the state of Minnesota, regardless of where the collector is located, if a collector is collecting from a consumer located in Minnesota, that collector must be, well, first of all, must work for a collection agency that's licensed here. Secondly, the individual collector must be registered. And then there was some case law about a year ago, there was a regulatory action that was brought against some collection agencies regarding criminal background screening. And the statute was less than clear, shall we say, at that time. And I know some clarification was done. I know some folks here, some local collection agency owners, got together and worked with some legislators here and also worked with the Department of Commerce to come up with some new language for the statute. Mike, could you highlight some of those changes or some of those clarifications that went into effect regarding what a collection agency is required to do to conduct a criminal background screening on its collector employees?
Well, you know, a couple of things is first that there has to be this background check upon the initial registration, and the process must include a national criminal history record search, an attorney licensing search, and a county criminal history search for all counties where the applicant has resided in the past 5 years. Plus, each licensed collection agency shall use a vendor that is a member of the National Association of Professional Background Screeners, an association that I had no idea ever existed before reading this.
I hadn't heard of them either, no.
Or an equivalent vendor to conduct the background screening process. You know, lot of extra work. John, are you aware, are there other states other than Minnesota that have this type of requirement?
You know, there's a requirement that's implicit in the Idaho collection agency statute regarding criminal background screening. As a practical matter, when you think about it, doesn't it make sense to run this background screening on all collection employees? I mean, do you really want to have a collector working for you who you haven't gone through this background check? This is, you know, working in the collection industry is a sensitive job, dealing with a lot of confidential information. And I think it's common sense. I think a lot of other states are going to follow suit, requiring this type of background screening when dealing with someone who's in the collection industry. Further, if you're a collection agency and you want to collect for one of the big banks, one of the big credit card issuers, that bank or that credit card issuer is also going to require that you do some background screening on your employees. So I think certainly we see something similar in Idaho. We see something similar from some of the larger issuers, and I think eventually some of the other states are going to follow suit. Mike, we are out of time for today, but I'd like to thank you once again for an excellent discussion about state law. I'd also like to thank our executive producer, Angela Holden, and we look forward to speaking with you next time. Thank you.
Visit the website for this podcast at thedebtcollectiondrill.com. You can send feedback to the drill at moss-barnett.com and follow us on Twitter at @collectdrill. This program does not create an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any listener. Please remember that we can only give general information and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns.